Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Trusting the so-called science, and also on the way, is it the end of the California independence movement? The founder has announced that he is calling it quits of Calexit, as it has been called for, I don't know, at least the last half decade or so, maybe longer. So we've got the actual, resignation letter from the founder we can share with you. But first up, Matt, you are reasonably concerned here that some places on the planet are talking about a total prohibition on privately owned vehicles. This is happening already, or is this just
they've talked about it for a few years now in places like England, but this year the English government has renewed its shouting about it, and it's a louder shout than usual.
And it's the excuse that London is so packed with cars. I remember a few years ago that it was in the news that they were planning on charging people for coming into London during like certain times of the day, that you'd have to pay a higher fee at, like, you know, whatever toll booths if you're coming in during business hours, but if it was at nighttime, the fee would be lowered or something like that.
Yeah. I think that was just kind of one of those slippery slope, stepping stone kind of things. It's not an actual problem, really. One of their leaders over there, I can't remember what her name is, but she said that owning a vehicle is such a thing of the past. Kind of thing. Like what you say, so 20th century is what you said.
Okay.
So 20th century is what her words were. But it's like, if you can see where it's going, and they've been very, very noisy about it in their parliament there, and now apparently Germany is also joining in that, which is very surprising. Germany is a very car-centric place.
They got the Autobahn, right?
The Autobahn. They got BMW. They got Porsche. They got Mercedes. I mean, it's major, you know, Opel, huge car companies there.
I bet that their reasoning is going to be because we have public transport. But the thing about that is, what if you have a bunch of stuff to move? Like, I've been watching this lady that goes and does cleaning of really dirty houses in Finland. And she said in one of her videos, she said, my car can't fit the water vacuum I usually use. And I was like, oh, I bet she has a tiny European car.
Well, they're going to make exceptions for companies that need to do things, right?
Like and probably tax them to death as
truckers
well.
Truckers are still
okay, but what if you're not
cars.
A country or a company? What if you're just moving your water vacuum to go help your mom clean her house?
You need to hire somebody.
It's ridiculous.
In that case.
It is totally ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous is that China. Well, not really a big difference. I don't know why I said China, but what I meant to say is California. Which is basically the same
difference.
They're also chiming in on this. They want to get rid of the private ownership of cars.
Now, are they talking about statewide? Because it's one thing to say, and I'm not saying I'm behind this at all, but it's one thing to be living in a place like New York City or London or San Francisco, you know, where everything's built up, everything's close, relatively close. Like you can walk in a lot of these cities to go and get most of the things that you need. Like in New York City, for instance. Most people don't own their own cars because it's crazy.
Yeah, they don't care.
The amount of money that you're spending to
park
that car in
just
the garage,
to park the car, yeah.
Yeah, is insane. And so, like, that, I get that. But if we're talking about prohibiting cars from the entire nation of Germany, that makes no sense at all. Like, what about the people that live out in the boonies?
They don't care about that. I've said for a long time, when the war comes, it won't be a war like people think. It'll be a war between city people and country people.
And the same thing's true in California. I mean, there's plenty of California that is not built up.
They are already very nonplussed with the cities in California. State of Jefferson has been the state of Jefferson for a long time. They want to be well away from those city folk and get rid of them.
But is that what they're talking about doing? Is making it statewide that you can't have a private vehicle?
These things are largely thought up by people who are from cities.
Right.
They have no frame of reference for what it's like to live outside of a city. And they end up becoming an absolute disease to people who don't live in cities.
It just still seems so weird to me for California, because I have heard that people from New York complain about Los Angeles because it's not walkable. So they have cities, but they're like huge cities.
Yeah, they sprawl. It's harder to do like subways and things because there's earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So it's weird to me that it would be happening in California and not New York.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, New York's going to follow. As soon as L.A. says something, New York's going to say, yeah, me too.
Hopefully they just realize.
The last 100 years, you know.
Hopefully they just realize this is stupid and give it up.
Mm-hmm. They won't.
Is the story, I'm just kind of looking for the story here. I got one here from The Truth About Cars. Is that where?
Yeah, The Truth About Cars. I actually heard it on I heard about it on The Life of Paulos, which is a car-centric YouTube channel that I watch. But the Atlantic Journal has reported on it, and The Economist has reported on it, The Telegraph has reported on it just recently. And if you Google it, there are references to the idea that go back into like 2014, 2015.
Well, the greenies are going to love it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's the big push is.
Right.
Obviously going to fall back, you know, and they're already, you know, I've got my eye on this V8 Camaro, and I don't really need a V8 Camaro, but I do kind of want
a new car.
I know, but you know, I wrecked it on a deer the other day, so
glad you're okay.
You know, thank you. It was just a very, very little tiny deer, did very little damage, but still, it ruined my brand new car. So now I would like, you know, but anyway, that's a work car though. The car that the Camaro would be something that I could actually enjoy myself in. This is not basic transportation. This is something that has huge horsepower and a 6-speed transmission, handles corners nicely, and would be really fun to drive.
The kind of thing they would absolutely ban from California. Let's remind our listeners that a recent news item, this isn't a speculative thing. This isn't, oh, this might happen. It's passed, it's signed, it's going into effect. They have banned all gasoline-operated lawn equipment and generators in California as of, I don't know what year, but in the next couple of years.
Which makes zero sense to me, because Southern California gets tons and tons of sunlight, and solar energy seems like a no-brainer there anyway, which means I think they could have incentivized people in some other way, just using a logical argument with them, saying, look how good technology's gotten with battery-powered stuff. You should try this out. Instead,
but they still don't have solar-powered lawn equipment.
No, but they could. I mean, there's nothing to set up a solar panel on your lawn or on your roof and have it plugged into a battery and charge your stuff off a battery in the house. I mean, I know lots of people right here in New Hampshire do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you are the proud owner of a battery-powered lawnmower.
I wanted to try it out. I like it.
I think it looks great.
But I don't know how long it would take to charge that battery off a solar panel.
It wouldn't take very long at all, as long as you had your electronics right in your...
And you don't mow your lawn every day. I don't think anybody does.
It would be just the same as plugging it into a wall outlet if you wanted it to be.
I guess I don't know enough about solar and how efficient that they are. I understand they're probably better now than they ever were, but...
Yeah, and in California, it's just like... If I was in California, I'd be running a lot of stuff on solar.
Well, you can't run a solar generator. I'm sorry. That's just not a possibility, and that's one of the things that they banned. Straight up banned.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to probably grandfather in existing equipment.
What else can you power a generator on then if they...
Gas.
Yeah, but you said that they banned gas generators. So just no generators? Or what else can it be powered with?
Jesus, I don't even know. That's a good question.
You could make alcohol. You could, like, that's what people were doing during the gas crisis in the 1970s. My dad was, right as the gas crisis in the 70s was ending, my dad was drawing up plans to make a still in the basement of our house so that he could power his truck and my mom's car.
I don't know, Bonnie, if they've banned, like, propane generators or just, like, gasoline generators.
What's the most common generator? Gasoline?
Probably the gas generator, because the typical generator is just somebody who grabs one, puts it in their garage, and they only bring it out whenever there's some sort of an emergency situation. And
a lot of people have them hardwired to their house, so if the power goes out, they just kill the main switch and go turn on a generator that feeds the house so that the freezer doesn't turn off.
Yeah, well, we have a generator here on this property, and it is hooked up to propane. In that case. Yeah,
the problem there is, as far as redundancy goes, is propane doesn't have a very good shelf life, and it requires very specialized equipment to transport and plug it in. And fill. You can't just, like, dump buckets.
Yeah, you can't fill that yourself.
Yeah, you can't just go get a 5-gallon bucket of propane and dump it into the tank.
So people are still going to be driving their diesel trucks to come fill it up?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. 603-283-6160. Are they going to ban personal vehicles, which would include, I presume, also battery vehicles and hybrid vehicles, right? Like, just a straight-up ban across the board on personally owned private vehicles and could be coming to a city near...
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Free Talk Live. Phones are open here if you want to join us. We're talking
talking about the proposal to ban private car ownership. Apparently, some places are actually talking about this. And if you want to weigh in, you're welcome to do that. 603-283-6160. Ian, Matt, and Bonnie in the studio tonight. 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live brought to you by Bitcoin.com. It is a great place to get started learning about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. You can go there now. Click Get Started at the top of the page, and you'll find some good introductory information there. The first video, I think, is about 3 minutes long, so you don't have to invest a whole lot of time, though you certainly can. You can invest as much time in this topic as you want. It is very deep, as deep as you want it to be. So head over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started, and jump into the world of crypto, because it is an interesting world that is changing the face of finance globally. If you want to know why, you've got to learn some of the basic concepts at Bitcoin.com. Also, they've got a news site for the latest news headlines anytime in the world of crypto. Go to news.bitcoin.com. As we go to your calls and thoughts, and then more on this story here about potential changes to the ability to simply own your own car in the future. Some people want to make it illegal. But first, let's talk to Thomas. And he says he's calling from Earth. Thomas, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, well, good day, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call.
There's a lady here, too. But go ahead, Thomas. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. So in regards to responding to the title of the show, private car ownership to be prohibited, what I would like to state is that private car ownership has been prohibited for a very long time through a scheme that requires people, when they go to buy an automobile at an automobile dealership, they convert it over through a scheme and artifice to defraud by being in the finance department, and they ask you to sign a power of attorney to turn over the manufacturer statement of origin to the state so the automobile can now be registered and become a motor vehicle. And a motor vehicle is a motor vehicle that's intended for the transportations of, it's under Title 18, Section 31, defined what a motor vehicle is. The term motor vehicle means every description or carriage or other contrivance propelled or drawn by a mechanical power and used for commercial purposes on the highways and the transportation of passengers and property or cargo.
And what's different about that than a car?
Well, it's for commercial purposes. Right? A vehicle is a commercial use thing.
Yeah. So this is actually an interesting theory. It's something that has been brought up before here on Free Talk Live. The idea of this manufacturer's statement of origin is this document that essentially is very secretive because the average user cannot get their hands on it, or it's very, very difficult. There are some theories out there that suggest ways to do this, but effectively it's almost impossible to pull this off. Have you, Thomas, ever managed to secure a manufacturer's statement of origin?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
How?
Yes. When you go in to purchase the automobile, you have to discharge their obligation in full. You've got to pay in cash. And you say that you want everything that comes with the automobile, including the, you know, key fobs and the floor mats and the manufacturer's statement of origin. When you look at a manufacturer's statement of origin, it's printed on bond paper, just like a birth certificate is. Under UCC 9-102, it defines what a consumer good is. A consumer good means goods that are bought or used for the primary or for personal, family, or household purposes. You can classify your automobile as a household item. Number one.
Isn't it true, that a lot of car dealers will not sell cars for cash?
If they do, it's deceptive trade practices because it was discrimination. They're trying to force you into an unconscionable contract, which is in violation of Title 15, Section 1 and 2.
Is the only way to get a manufacturer's statement of origin to buy a new car? Because obviously there are a lot of people that cannot afford to purchase a new car.
Correct, and that's why the proliferation of leases and, of course, buying a car on time. As soon as you buy a car on time, you're creating a security agreement, which you now become the debtor in possession of the property, i.e. the automobile, which has now been converted to a motor vehicle, because part of the requirement is that it be registered with the state, have license plates, registration tags, and insurance.
Hmm. So you've got a manufacturer's statement of origin, and you don't put a tag on the car, right? Like, you're just driving around, you're doing free traveling.
No, I'm not driving around. I'm traveling.
Traveling.
Driving is a commercial term. Traveling is I'm traveling. I'm transporting my household goods and my private conveyance.
Now, how many times have you been pulled over for this?
I don't know, 3 or 4.
That's it? And how many years have you been doing this?
I'd rather not say at this point, but you have to understand something. When somebody pulls, when you're traveling in an automobile, you don't even have to have plates on the car. And the revenue officer, or i.e. law enforcement officer, resorts to turning on his headlights and then his emergency flashers to pull you over. He's committed fraud because there has to be a factual, articulable suspicion that there's been a crime committed.
So tell me this. I mean, I don't disagree with any of the things you're saying. It's a very interesting, situation, and we do know people. Jay Noon, for instance, former co-host here on Free Talk Live, he also does not travel with a license.
And I fought that fight myself for quite a long time, too. I've heard all this stuff you're talking about, caller, I'm fairly well versed in, too. And you're right, and the rabbit hole isn't really that deep on it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter because law is enforced according to cultural norms, not according to law.
Well, this power. Thomas, is to hear more about your story. So when you get pulled over, what happens?
Well, the first thing that happens, I give the officer, the revenue agent, it's called a questionnaire, okay? Now, you have to understand something. When you give them a questionnaire, they're required under the Administrative Procedures Act to answer the questionnaire. And the questionnaire is a notice of inquiry and a report of detainment. And you're asking them to fill this out as an officer or public servant, because remember, every man or woman who takes an office serving in, government has taken an oath, mm-hmm. and that oath is to, protect and defend the Constitution and the people thereof. So now, if there's no injury and there's no victim, there's no reasonable articulable fact, there's no reasonable articulable suspicion, they pulled you over, they've just committed a felony against you. Now, Adam Kokesh was pulled over in Colorado and he was held for 12 days. He had no plates on his car. They tried to trump up all this stuff on him. And of course, Adam's a very, very, very smart, articulable man. He's a blessing to all of us. If you could listen to the interview you guys did with him, it was very, very wonderful. So now, when you serve him with this public service questionnaire, and what you're doing is you're being very, very, you're being very civil. Mm-hmm. And the affirmation by the public servant, and he has to sign this thing, and it's got to be witnessed, so you can request that a supervisor come out and or a sergeant. It's failure to sign this is $100,000 levy.
Okay, so I want to know more about what has happened specifically to you. When you handed them this questionnaire, did they go ahead and fill it out? Or did they just, laugh and write you a ticket and, walk away? Did they put you in handcuffs? So I'm curious to hear more. Hopefully you can stick with us. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
There's no holiday season magic for travelers dealing with today's batch of flight delays and cancellations. FlightAware is saying there have already been more than 4,000 flights that haven't taken off on time. Those planning to leave or go to Seattle are having the most problems. About 30% of flights originating from Seattle-Tacoma International Airport have been canceled. As cities across the country prepare to ring in the new year, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu reminds everyone people in her city need to keep one thing in mind.
As we come together to celebrate community, our joy, and a fresh start in 2022, we must also recognize the moment that we still very much are in. We are in a winter surge driven by the Omicron variant, and we need to take action to protect ourselves, our families, and our communities at large.
USA Radio News. New details are coming to light regarding a shooting that took place earlier this week in Denver, Colorado.
A Denver police spokesman said the writings are part of the investigation into what led 47-year-old Lyndon James McLeod to carry out the Monday shootings. Authorities believe McLeod wrote fictional books self-published online that named some of his real-life victims and described similar attacks. Police say McLeod knew most of the people he shot through business or personal relationships, and they're still investigating the motive. In the USA Radio Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
The NFL is going to observe a moment of silence before Sunday's game to honor the passing of John Madden. He was a Super Bowl-winning head coach for the Oakland Raiders in 1997 and became one of the most popular broadcasters in league history after coaching. Madden's name is also used as the title of the NFL's video game. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio, it's Ian,
Matt,
and Bonnie.
We started out talking about some proposals in places like the UK and California suggesting that perhaps private car ownership will be banned someday in these places. And a gentleman called in saying that actually that's already happened, and he's getting into an interesting sort of legal theory that I seems to be true from what I've seen. And Matt, you said you've delved into this personally.
Yeah, and fought it in court.
Did you win?
I did.
And this was in New York State?
That was in New York State, but we have a very small town, and it was a very small town judge, and I was putting them on the ropes pretty hard about it. I was adamant, so he listened when I started going off the mouth about definitions and what they mean.
And so you were driving around without a tag on,
yeah,
for
he was
instance.
Not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Our judges in New York
just
are,
elected.
Are small. They're elected. And
okay.
So he was just some guy. They sent him away to how to be a judge school for 2 weeks, and they come back, and they give us traffic tickets and stuff. So, arraign people on small matters and things like that, and the sheriffs drag them away. But
what Thomas is telling us about here is the idea of the manufacturer's certificate of origin. This is this
piece of paper that comes with a brand new car, except it doesn't for most people because they don't know about it. The dealer sends it over to the government, and the government issues what's called a certificate of title based on that. Of course, everybody knows what a certificate of title is who's had a car. They believe that that's their ownership, but what the point of that is it is a certificate. A certificate is evidence of a thing, right? That if this thing exists. So the title exists.
They basically create a legal fiction called a motor vehicle.
Yeah, and so then you then have to ask for permission to operate this thing, which they have this crazy legal structure that says it's all commercial, which means that you're operating a business, and it gets, you know, like it's a little deep.
At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because the cop is a very average-brained human being who has only studied law to the extent that he's been told what to think,
right?
And they're going to enforce that, and they're going to shake their head at your legal mumbo jumbo, and then they're going to go take you to a judge and say he'll figure it out.
Well, that's why
the judge is going to shake their head at the legal mumbo jumbo because they don't understand it either. Never heard of it.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to hear more from you, Thomas, about your actual experience in this, because you say you've been doing this for some amount of time. You won't tell us how long, but you say you've been pulled over 3 or 4 times. So, of those 3 or 4 times, you said that the officer, you present them with a questionnaire. You say that there's some sort of law that says they have to fill it out, and I'm just going to guess that most of these officers, they don't believe you on that. And but what's your experience been? What happens when you hand them this piece of paper as they pull you over for not having a tag?
On a couple of times, they've gone back to their car. They sat in their car for 4 or 5 minutes. They come back, they hand the piece of paper back, and say, "Have a good day, sir."
Hmm. So they didn't fill it out. Now, they just let you go.
No. Because the thing of it is here is that you have to understand something. This is under the Administrative Procedures Act under Title V, and under that, under 2635.101, it talks about a public office is a public trust. These people are trustees. They have to allow you, okay, and this is recodified under 63C AMJUR Second 63C AMJUR Section 63, Section 241 through 247, public office is a public trust. So they have an obligation. And see, all these infractions are just ways for them to generate revenue because they've now, see, when you go to take that, you go to the Department of what? Motor vehicles. And I just defined what a motor vehicle is. So you're confessing to them that you're engaged in some type of commercial activity, that you need their permission to transport your property or cargo and property or passengers. Remember, a passenger is somebody who pays Joe to take you from point A to point B. I know people that have been pulled over in California and Montana, and the Highway Patrol has asked them like 3 or 4 times, how many passengers do you have in your car? And the response from the people who are traveling said, that's not a passenger, that's my wife, that's my brother-in-law, and that's my, you know.
Because the word passenger has a legal definition. I see what you're saying. So what happened the other couple of times? You said twice the officer handed you back the questionnaire. What about the times they didn't?
One time the officer didn't even get out of his, didn't even come back to the car. He backed up and just left. Okay?
So you've never been ticketed for this?
No.
Wow.
No.
Now, do you think this is the cops are driving away because they've gone back to their car, done their research, and made a valid argument with themselves that what you're saying is correct? Or are they just saying, this man is a sovereign citizen, he's going to shoot me with an AK-47 if I walk back up to that car?
No,
driving away.
The sovereign citizen stuff is, that's hyperbole, that's bullcrap.
I get it, but that's what the cops are told. The cops are force-fed that stuff, and they believe it, generally.
That's fine. It's called a conclusive presumption that can be defeated. In the legislatures in 43 states in this country, there's a book called the Mason's Manual of Legislative Procedures. In Section 73 of that manual, that's what the legislature goes by in addition to Robert's Rules of Order. It states in there, in Section 73, and anybody can go look it up, it states, the people of each state are vested with the sovereign authority expressed by the elected representatives serving in the legislature. It's in their own procedure books in the legislature. So now you have to understand something. I'm going to give you two more things real quick. One of the cases called Shapiro versus Thompson, which has 394 U.S. reports, page 618, Supreme Court reporter 1322, all citizens must be free to travel throughout the United States uninhibited by statutes, rules, or regulations. Now, you go to U.S. versus Bishop, which is under Supreme Court case 412, U.S. 346. If you have relied on prior decisions of the Supreme Court, you have the perfect defense for willfulness. So now, do you think these people are going to go ahead and cause potential huge liability against themselves when somebody is articulate and polite? You have to be polite. Mm-hmm. You do not be belligerent to your brother. You always be polite. You just let them know that this is the way what's going on, and this is not acceptable.
You know, I think there is something to be said for being a difficult target, and these people are bullies, and they want to pick on the easy marks. And whether this stuff will actually end up holding up in court or not is another question, because you've never gotten there. And I would love to see more of this stuff in action. Did you ever get any video when you were pulled over?
No.
See, one of the problems with a lot of the people who have these, who promote these theories, is that they very rarely have any actual evidence to back up the stories. I'm not saying what you said didn't happen. You sound very knowledgeable. You can cite these things off the top of your head. And I did have you send me an email, and I will share what you've sent to me here on our social media site over at social.freetalklive.com. That way people can take a look at this, because this is something that it's... How many hours did you have to spend researching this before you're so knowledgeable?
Brother, I've been researching, looking for the truth since 1980, from the complete tear apart of the income tax laws, the statutes, codes, and regulations, so the Constitution, and what Constitution are we talking about? If I may say one other thing, there was a case that happened down in Florida. It's called Trezevant versus the City of Tampa, Florida, where they arrested this man for allegedly reckless driving or whatever. They held him for a period of time in that jail. And the 11th Circuit Court came out and said that the $65,217 per hour and a $1.8 million per day for the total fees. Now, this went all the way up to the 11th Circuit, and they said in that case that these sums were not exorbitant at all.
Wow. Okay. Feel free to call another time. Tell more of these stories. I find them to be absolutely fascinating.
They are.
Kind of like revenue officer.
Yeah. I want more people to have experience with this stuff, but it's... Like he said, he's been researching this for 40 years. Thanks for the call tonight. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We do have a social media website over at social.freetalklive.com. And I'm going to take the information that our last caller emailed, drop it on a post over there. So if you want to take a look at it, it includes a 100-plus page PDF and a YouTube video.
Is this like his write-up?
I don't know if it's from him. I think it's probably from somebody else. But it's got, you know, a lot of citations of different court cases and things like that. And Matt, you know, you said you went to court with this stuff, but it wasn't in front of a real, you know, lawyer judge. It was right in front of an elected judge, which is just anybody from, you know, some politician from town doesn't necessarily know the law. And you were victorious in that case.
And I'll say they did avoid me like the plague. Like they told me that it took about a year to fight that case. That case for me was addressed. Driving without a license case. I had a license that was like expired like by 6 years.
Did the car have a tag on it?
The car had like some ancient license plates on it. I just never turned it. In New York, you're required to return your license plates.
Oh, wow.
Or at least you were back then.
That's because the state considers those its property.
Yeah, well, every day that you don't have insurance on your car, it's a $5 fine, and you cannot be driving it, and you need to renew your registration, or you get a similar fine, and every day you have the plates. So you're not allowed to keep the plates. I had plates on mine forever. I never seemed to have a hassle with a fine around that, but the law is there for it. So anyway, I've been trying. I don't pay attention. I'm not one for forms and filling them out and stuff like that. So that said, I got pulled over. I hadn't had a license in many years. the car was 3 years overdue on its inspection.
So your license, you had one, but it expired?
Yeah, like a really old license. Yeah, yeah, I just didn't care, you know. Yeah, I ended up going to court for it. They gave me the runaround. They said, oh, court, you know, they'd make the court date for me. I'd show up and it's closed. Oh, court's closed tonight. Nobody told you.
Tonight?
Yeah, we sent out notifications to everyone that court would be, you know, closed tonight.
You didn't what get the heck?
Yeah, so, and they did that over and over again for a long time.
But then you actually went to trial and he found you not guilty?
Yeah, I pushed it. And the prosecutor was, like, losing his mind in the courtroom. It was kind of funny. It was very funny. He was turning all red and, like, freaking out. And I just started, because I took the stand for myself and I started testifying. And part of my testimony was just giving words and definitions. What vehicle means, what traffic means, and so forth.
And pulling them from their own systems, their own laws.
I was very sick, because I was getting worked up, too, because I kept getting, you know, what is it called? When the prosecutor tells you, he wants you to stop talking and, you know.
It's an objection.
Objection. He's objecting to everything. And finally the judge is like, he's testifying the way he wants to testify. Mm-hmm. And I look over and he's actually writing down the words that I'm giving and asking me to slow down so that he can look them up. So this guy, might not be a complete knucklehead.
Exactly.
So maybe it's a good idea that we don't have lawyers at every level of government. Maybe we should start electing. We'd probably be better off if we have to elect people, let's elect normal people and not have requirements of being forced through some
law school
factory.
Yeah, that's a good point. So why did you, after being victorious in this case, at what point did you decide, all right, I'm going to go get a government license and start tagging cars?
I didn't. Until I moved to New Hampshire.
Why did you change?
I think it was 2015.
Why did you decide to do that here?
Because I was driving for a living, and it was just like a major part of my job is behind the wheel. And I just do not, if I have an appointment with important business people, I do not want to get stopped by some dorky pig on a power trip and
revenue officer
drag me. Sorry. Plug.
And because, you know, whenever I hear all of the freedom to travel activists who I have an appreciation for, I've done some of this myself. I've never done like the insane level of research to be to where I can cite cases off the top of my head or anything like that. But in my studio here, there's a private plate that I had manufactured that has a phone number on it and it has the Shire at the bottom. So it's not a state plate. It's a private plate.
It's a fantastic looking plate.
And I've driven with that on a car on more than one occasion and gotten pulled over after some, you know, usually it's a couple thousand miles that I'll go before somebody will pull me over and I get hit with a misuse of plates charge on it. Even though it wasn't a state plate.
Right.
And I forget what their allegation was. It probably has something to do with the fact that I didn't have a manufacturer's certificate of origin or whatever.
Was that the only charge?
It's the only charge I got.
Can't. Did you pay the fine or did you fine?
No, I never pay fines.
Right. That's right.
I went to court. I was found guilty after
trial.
How
were you found guilty? That's not a plate. That's not a misuse of a plate. That's not one of their plates.
I think the argument was that if the car is registered, that it has to have a government plate on it or something like that.
But with that plate on it, it's not registered, right?
It's been a while since I've been in that case, but I'm pretty sure the idea is the car is registered. So the car is...
It's titled.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
It's titled.
Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the frustrating things about this.
That's where they
this
get
conspiracy
you.
Theory is, or not conspiracy theory, because it seems like it's true.
Yeah.
But this particular theory is that, oh, well, if it's commercial, then they can regulate it. And it's like, well, why would they be able, who are these people and why can they tell you that they can regulate you if you're taking a passenger somewhere? Why, you know, I don't buy that either.
Yeah. The thing is, all of the law surrounding, like all the foundational law for, because cars haven't been around all that long at this point.
Yeah.
You know, 100 years or
100
so.
Years.
And all of the laws surrounding it are pretty explicit in what they're trying to mean. It's in modern English, and it's very clear what they're getting at. And all the case law that surrounds those laws is also very plain English in what they meant, including up to the Supreme Court. Very, very clear. You know, the term driver You know, everybody who drove a horse and buggy back in the day wasn't a driver. The driver was the guy who was wheeling wagon loads of goods. They were tractor-trailer people of their day. You know, so those are drivers. The average person using their buggy to get back and forth to home, or their wagon back and forth to their job.
Just travelers.
Just traveling.
I want to go to Alu Axelman on the line here from Liberty Block.
What's up, Alu?
At libertyblock.com. Hey, Alu.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, what's on your mind?
I'm enjoying the discussion. It's very interesting about property ownership of cars and also about license plates and traveling versus driving for a commercial reason. I've heard this argument from sovereign citizens or other people who, libertarians and voluntarists who just want to drive freely. I kind of understand it, and it might even be true that maybe 100 years ago when they made the laws, they only sought to regulate people who are driving for commercial use and not private travelers. But that being said, as you guys know, I'm a voluntarist. I don't believe the government should be involved in any cars, commercial or private.
Right.
That being said, here in the real world, I am extremely skeptical, meaning I don't really believe, that using the defense of being a traveler or a certificate of whatever ownership or whatever the previous callers were saying, which they sounded very well studied and intelligent, and maybe they're saying legitimate stuff, but even if they were real court cases and laws they're studying, I cannot believe that any cop would take their survey and do anything besides arrest them. Or
that's
them.
And I agree with that, but I would stop you at saying any cop, because there might be a cop or two or something, you know, that, and it's not going to be because they read through it and understand. And, oh, I'm in the wrong here. I'm going to drive. It's because they just want to deal with it. There were big words on paper. They know you look like a bad problem, and they're just going to walk away from that. Just absolve.
They don't want to deal with it.
Just want to get ahead of that
curve. I think practically speaking, the one thing we could do is pass a bill. Obviously, the first thing we have to do is leave the union. So we could pass CACR 32 and get it on the ballot and vote for it to leave the union. Because the federal government does regulate interstate commerce. And if you guys want to start citing fancy Supreme Court cases, look up Wickard versus Filburn. So Wickard with a W versus Filburn, that was a Supreme Court case decided a few decades ago that pretty much said under the Interstate Commerce Clause, the federal government does have the authority to regulate any commerce in the universe as long as it is any involvement, even tangentially, has any interstate effect. Meaning, if you buy a gun from me, technically that means that's less guns you're buying from Smith & Wesson, which is based in NAS, meaning it's interstate commerce. So the more you buy from NAS, I'm serious. I'm not joking around. You guys.
No, yeah, I've heard that interpretation well.
So Wickard versus Filburn, that's what it says. Anything in the universe is literally in some way interstate commerce, and the federal government can regulate it. The actual case with Wickard was a guy was feeding his own cows his own grain. He had cows and he grew his own grain or something, but he bought less grain from neighboring Iowa. And they said, oh, well, you're hurting the Iowa
affected interstate commerce, and that's yet another reason to divorce. Yeah, another reason to divorce D.C. Bonnie, what did you want to say about Jay Noon?
I was going to say, I agree with what Matt was saying. The reason that the guys walk or the cops walk away if you hand them a survey probably is that they are just they don't want to deal with it, because that's how Jay Noon basically lives as an actual sovereign human.
Yeah,
is they don't want to deal with him or his family.
And you notice the side of his horse trailer has a sign on it that says not for hire.
Hey, Alu, do you have time to stand by and talk about Calexit and what's happening out there? All right, hang on. Alu's an excellent secession independence advocate. He's probably, I would say the top advocate of New Hampshire independence. And it looks like California's Calexit movement is falling apart.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow.
Or moving slow.
And that most everything costs more these days.
Costs more these days.
But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift. An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.